Along comes Jeff Harvey. You could be all those things and make great music happen. Have a listen. I just jiggle up, jiggle, and everywhere I go, jiggle, people know the fuck I'm playing. Paid for every day, jiggle, selling this wrong man. Ooh, what they say. And there'll come a day, youth will pass away. And what would they say about me? When the end comes, I know that's just a gigolo. Life goes on without me. I'm just a gigolo. Everywhere I go, even out above, I'm playing. Paid for everything. Selling each one. Ooh, what they say. And there'll come a day when youth will pass away. And what would they say about me? When the end comes, I know they'll say just a gigolo. Life goes on without me, because I ain't got nobody. Oh, yes, nobody cares for me. Listen, nobody cares for me.
Did you hear that? And there's Jeff Harvey playing the piano, and that's a live musical production on the television in, I imagine, the early 80s. Just terrific. So we've lost Jeff Harvey, another good one, last night. And I have to tell you, Jade Hurley, who I remember, I'm sure many of you remember, as part of the Midday Show and its various formations over the years. Was, to some extent, I think, a semi-regular. He's on the line. Oh, shut up, and he can talk. G'day, Jade.
Hey, Luke.
It was a long
semi-regular, my God. I was there for 16 years. And,
16 years, and my right God.
Yeah, I came over with the Mike Walsh Show from Channel 10 when Kerry Packer bought the Mike Walsh Show from Channel 10. And on a handshake, Mike went over and took a couple of the people who would do the show on a semi-regular basis on the 10 network, and I had my own segment on that about every 3 weeks, and for about 16 years, where I'd sing four or five songs, and out of that came three double platinum albums through Festival Records in those days, and of course the music. The music would not have evolved at all without the support of Jeffrey Harvey. And to be honest with you, Luke, I'm just gutted today. I hadn't seen Jeff for quite a while, and that's to my detriment. I feel guilty about that now. Mm. And while we've been on the road and going down there past Barrel and everything like that, and coming home past Barrel up and down the highway and the motorhome on tour, which we still do, and I never pulled in off the highway to have a beer with him. Great years, mate.
I'd love to know, because he seemed to, I guess, all of us watching, and you would have seen this up close, as he was on air, he was off air, a real character and good company, good person to be around. Is that right?
No, he was worse.
Was he really?
Look, using his own words, he loved the grog, and of course some of the lunches that we have go to the pub at Willoughby there after the shows sometimes, and but look, he had the immense ability to control 100% of the music for 90 minutes. And bear in mind, Luke, that this never happened anywhere else in the world. Mm. The David Letterman shows and everything like that in America, all the variety, so-called live variety shows in England, were never live.
Yeah.
Here in Australia, Mike Walsh pulled this off with the help of Jeff Harvey doing all the 100% of the music, 90 minutes, 5 days a week.
Mm.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Never been known to happen anywhere else in the world. And of course, it was warts and all. Like, I remember doing, I forget, I think it was, I was singing Runny Bear one time, and uh, and I did a big gliss up and down the piano as I do, and ripped my fingers open. Next thing, Mike said to the producer, "Quick, go and get Dr. James Wright, who just happened to be on the show that day." So they got a bandage, and in the middle of the song, Jeff's still playing, and in the middle of the song, and over comes Dr. James Wright with the bandage, and of course that's what happened, warts and all, because it was live television.
Yeah. Oh, James, hi there. I'll never forget Dr. James Wright. In fact, I'll tell you, Jade, when I was working in regional radio for a long time, there used to be, and I was doing the morning show, it might have been at Inverell or somewhere, and it was, I think in those days, it was called the Women's Shift, and of course we couldn't call it now, but there was a 60 or 90 second every day, and I used to play it off a reel-to-reel tape, Dr. James Wright.
That's right.
And it used to be, "Hi there," and it's stuck in my head. It's just stuck there. When you were performing, obviously you're dealing then with Jeff Harvey professionally about the music. At your level, did you blokes just nod at each other and you knew what would happen, or what level of preparation is there?
You do. Proper run through and every rehearsals and everything, on camera rehearsals and all that sort of thing. It was a full on, you start about 8 o'clock in the morning. The show wouldn't go to it till 12, but by that time you've had a couple of run throughs. In my case, look, I was very lucky, Luke. I just happened to get on a plane. I was flying to Melbourne to do a tour, and I got on the plane. I'm sitting down there and lo and behold, Mike Walsh gets on, because we've been mates for years, and I'd known him for years, and I'd been doing the Channel 10 show with him, and when the show went over to 9, Mike asked me to go over with him and to do basically every 6 weeks, I'd go on and sing a song, so he sat down there and he said, "Look, because of the fact that you play the piano and you do it different to anybody else, and you sing all the golden albums and all that sort of thing, any time you got an idea for the show, let me know." And I said, "Well, Mike, I haven't got an idea for your show, but I've got an idea for something, and it's called the Golden Albums." And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, if you walk down George Street or Queen Street in Brisbane or whatever it might happen to be, and you pull someone up and said, 'Hey, do you remember Ray Peterson?'" They'd say, "I guarantee you, no one would remember Ray Peterson. But if you said, 'Do you remember Tell Laura I Love Her?' Oh, yeah, I remember that song."
Yeah.
Now, Mike said, "Hey, that's a good idea. How would you like to put two or three or four of them together in one segment? And, Jeffrey will do all the arrangements, and Bob's your uncle." Well, 2 weeks later, we did the first segment, called Jade Hurley's Golden Oldens, and about 4 months later, we recorded the first live album called Jade Hurley's 20 Golden Oldens off the show, and that went double platinum, and of course still sells today through the website.
Jeez.
As indeed all the others do, but yeah. It wouldn't have happened though. Yeah. When you talk of Jeffrey Harvey, as we are in this case, it wouldn't have happened. The extraordinary ability, Luke, that Jeff had to pull that all together, and if something went wrong, he'd get out of it. And one of his ways of getting out of it was his pure ability for showbiz.
Yeah.
I mean, he brought in this bloody ferret one day.
Oh, that's right.
And that became, I mean, he came over to me in the middle, "I'm singing All for the Love of a Girl," the Johnny Horton classic. "Well, it's all for the love of a dear." Bloody Harvey's waving this ferret in the face. I mean, it was all of that. You couldn't write the script.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like it generated its own rules. It began with the premise of "there are no rules," and then over the many years, and we all just love that show. Actually, I think we've found a little bit of you. Enjoy this, sir, and listeners.
Classic boy, yeah. there's no die, son, you gotta work late. Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, cause there ain't no cure for the summertime.
Doesn't that bring back some memories, does it, for you? I hope it does, Joe. Gee, you were... Oh, mate.
Well, we still do that in the show today.
Do you?
All those, like Great Balls of Fire, Running Bear, and, of course, you know, all the classic country songs from Jim Reeves and all that sort of thing. But, see, that sort of thing there, even Jeffrey's playing piano in the background, he was very aware, because I was a piano player and... There were a couple of other piano players who would come on the show periodically and all that sort of thing. He'd never overplay when there was another piano player on there. But all the pretty little keyboard things, he'd do all of that sort of thing. And I remember doing "Daddy, Don't You Walk So Fast," and some of the keyboard stuff he did in the background of that was just absolute magical. And of course, that's all on one of the albums as well. And
hey, what's the website, mate?
www.jadehurley.net. Pretty simple.
Yeah, nothing easier.
Jadehurley.net. And of course, all those albums from those days are still the Jade Hurley 20 Golden Olden, Solid Gold, More Golden Olden. They're all still available there. Pardon me, Luke. I've got a frog in the throat.
No, that's all right. And mate, you're still touring. That's extraordinary. Well done, you.
Yeah, we get out there and. And one of the things that perhaps, if we're going to talk about Jeff Harvey, one of the things that bears remembering is the fact that he was such the showman that when he's... and I'm thinking back now, because I've had two knee replacements. And by the way, folks, yes, but the old leg still goes up on the piano.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
Never too old to not get it up anymore. We won't go there. But anyway, Jeff went in to have both his knees replaced. And I bet you, after I get off air, you'll have people phoning and saying, I remember that. Because you saw him being prepared for the operation, and then you saw him straight after the operation and doped up on the endone and all of that sort of thing.
You know what, mate? I will never, ever, ever forget the sound and the image of the hammer on the replacement knee. Oh, I remember watching 60 Minutes and I thought to myself, if I do nothing else in my life, I will respect my knees. Oh my God. Did you have one of them?
They don't muck around. They give it the biggest bang for all life.
You had one of them, did you, mate? Two of them.
Yeah, I've had both mine done. Yeah.
How long did it take before you could get around okay?
Oh, look, I was up pretty fast, actually, to be honest with you. But my doctor, he said, look, he said, I'm not going to do both at once because number one, I don't like doing that. That was his preference. And,
yeah.
But he said, perhaps after I did the first one, you won't want to come back for the second one. which was half right. But anyway, about 2 years later, I had to get the second one done. But, look, you know, they're still artificial knees, you know, if you know what I mean.
Hey, let me ask
they're
you.
Not, they're not the same as the originals.
No, of course. When you did go for lunch, and, you know, I do respect what happens on tour stays on tour. Was it the same bunch? Did you have the same drink,
absolutely,
the same food? If you can let us into that for a minute, what was it like?
It was all of that. It was it was just fun. It was fun. And the banter and as I say, during the serious part was when you got there early in the morning. You do the first sound checks and run through camera rehearsals and all of that sort of thing, so that Ray Derrick, who was the sound operator, who controlled the whole lot of the sound for that show for years, and he's probably even listening tonight, but because he's still alive and still out there live and kicking. But then the serious part was over. After that, it was just a free for all. It was just fun,
right. But he was out
in the pub after the show.
Yes.
Oh, God. You know, I mean, you'd go up there depending on what was happening the next day or that night, if he'd have a gig or some of the band would have a gig or I'd have a gig or whatever it might happen to be, but you know, you're still there at 9 o'clock that night. Oh God!
Oh no!
Oh yeah, they'd have to tip you out. But he was dreadful. He was he loved the grog. He loved his beer.
Yeah,
pretty simple.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've always wanted. I've been intrigued by knowing that you're an alderman. Were you not in regional New South Wales?
Well, Luke, many years ago, I got ripped off terribly as a lot of entertainers in the Sydney club scene in those days did by a couple of theatrical promoters, who booked certain clubs.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, bugger this, I'm getting out of this because I'm not going to be working for these shonky promoters. So over the years, there were two places that I really enjoyed, I liked when I toured there. One was Deniliquin in the Rip Arena.
Yeah.
The other one was Perth, Western Australia. So I put the feelers out in both places. And you wouldn't believe it, about 6 weeks later, Phil Charlie, the manager of 2QN at Deniliquin, rang up and said, hey, get in the old FJ and come down here. You can start on breakfast next Monday. So I did.
You're joking,
and a week later, 6PR rang up and said, "I want you over here." And,
anyway, wow.
But that brings with it a lot of risks because everybody understands the fact, and you've got all your listeners out there in those country towns saying, "You got to live in a country town 20 years before you're regarded as a local."
Local, that's it.
So I got on the air 3 days later. Criticised the mayor, the local mayor, who'd been there forever and a day, and got sacked.
Oh, no.
So there I was, stuck in Deniliquin, nothing to do. Yeah. There was a drought on, so I got a job in the shearing sheds as a rouseabout and a presser.
Gosh.
One of the best jobs I'd ever had. And I've still got ties in Deniliquin to this day. And, just one wonderful days and all. All of these sort of things are as a result of, you know, later on getting that gig, leading into getting the gig with Mike Walsh, and that changed my life again, and here we are, alive at 76.
Unbelievable. I got my first gig was at 4LG in Longreach, and when I got there, it was the day daylight saving began, and I think it just conspired everything. Tasmania was different to Victoria, which was different to New South Wales. It happened to just on that day and maybe for a week that there were five or something. I think there were five time zones in Australia. So I got on air and I said, what the hell's going on? And fancy not having daylight saving. And anyway, the phones have lit up. And I thought, bloody hell, I'm a superstar. Look at this. Anyway, about 15 minutes later, the sales manager walked in and he had this this book that was titled something like Referendum Results, and the electorate was Gregory. He said, mate, we actually had a referendum here on daylight saving a year ago. So I thought, okay, do you want to check the results? So yes to daylight saving v no to daylight saving. And in Longreach, where there might have been 5,000 voters, there would have been about 8 people that wanted it. And 4,992 who said, stick it up your jumper. And the people that were ringing were the news agents and the real estate bloke and the Greyhound bus bloke and the theatre saying, if this bloke doesn't shut up, we're going to pull our rants. They didn't punt me, but I learned a big lesson that day. Very big lesson.
Yeah.
You know what? It's been an honour to talk to you, Jade. I used to watch you on the midday show. There's not a lot of years between you and I, but
the Mike Walsh show. We've got to get it right.
Mike Walsh show. You're because, right. Sorry.
Yeah. For the simple reason, it became the midday show after we, you know, with Ray after Mike gave it away. And
yeah,
then,
that's right. That's right.
And
no,
then and then the handshake that Mike did with Kerry Packer. Kerry said, "Well, we're not going to worry about bloody handshake." So Mike sued him. $1 million. Oh God.
Wow.
And yeah, but But still, it went on, and then Kerry Ann followed on for them that. And,
yeah.
But all of that, it's just another generation now. It's just a memory now, which is so unfortunate for
it is.
So many recording artists and so much talent here in Australia, Luke.
And you know what it was? And the big thing on the Walsh show and on the other shows was this. You had very talented people, whether they be musicians or interviewers, hosts, comedians, whatever, and they were given time just to do what they did, and it was wonderful. And there was, you know, there were no confines. They just went out there and they did their stuff, and it was just wonderful. It's not around now.
Well, in Mike's case, though, Luke, he was so innovative. Mm. He went to the doctors. He had a crook throat, so we went up the road to the doctors, and it happened to be Dr. James Wright.
Hi there.
That's it. Next thing, he's a star.
Oh, dear. Oh, mate, I would have loved...
Jeannie Little was another one. John Michael Hollywood House, and there were so many of them. It was wonderful.
Yeah, fantastic.
It's been lovely to talk to you, mate.
You too, Jade. I really appreciate it. Take care, and I hope we get to talk again.